Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez says Democrats should be more radical in order to win elections. Another public school tries to sneak in critical race theory, despite the left saying it doesn't even exist. Plus, states fight back against Biden's vaccine mandate. All that and more. I'm Bobby Eberle. This is a 13-Minute News Hour.
And God bless the United States of America.
Okay, friends, welcome to the show. Happy Friday. I hope you had a great week. If you're new to the show, thank you so much for tuning in. We're going to start with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, because following the beatdown the Democrats received on Tuesday night, one of the first questions that popped into my head was, how were the Democrats going to react? Virginia hadn't elected a Republican governor in 12 years, yet they did on Tuesday night. In fact, Republicans swept the statewide races, including electing Winsome Sears, who happens to be the first woman elected to serve as lieutenant governor, who also happens to be Black, who also happens to be a Marine veteran and conservative. She's like the Democrats' worst nightmare. Phil Murphy was supposed to win re-election as New Jersey governor in a landslide. The margin right now sits at less than 1%. So, how did the Democrats take this news? It depends on who you ask. Democrat Senator Joe Manchin said the election results from Tuesday night should send a message about the Democrats' massive spending bills that are being debated in Congress. Here's Manchin.
Let's say on the legislation we're about to start negotiating on, which is the reconciliation bill. There's no excuse why the infrastructure bill hasn't passed long ago, 2 weeks, 3 weeks ago. It would have been great for our country. It's still great for our country. And I'm hoping we get bipartisan support. It's a bipartisan bill.
So there Manchin is talking about the so-called bipartisan infrastructure bill that passed the Senate, but is being held up in the House because people like AOC and other far-left Democrats are holding it hostage until they can get some guarantees that the massive Green New Deal bill, what they call the Reconciliation Bill or Build Back Better bill, will pass as well. Here's Manchin talking about that bill.
But the Reconciliation Bill, I think what it says is kind of slow down, take a breath. Let's look at this. We're talking about major tax overhaul reform. We're talking about changing our energy policies. We're talking about a whole social rearrangement. We're talking about $29 trillion of debt. We better get our hands around it and be responsible. And I've always said, if you can't get your financial house in order, it's hard to do anything.
So that's the Manchin reaction. Basically, the American people sent a message in Virginia and New Jersey elections and in other elections around the country. So let's just slow down and think about it. Well, AOC is having none of that. As I said, she and other progressives are saying they won't vote for the first infrastructure bill unless they can get the Green New Deal socialist bill. And now, following McAuliffe's election loss to Republican Glenn Youngkin for Virginia governor, AOC says this.
Plus, on the election front, I actually think we have good news as well. I know that Virginia was a huge bummer. And honestly, if anything, I think that the results show the limits of trying to run a fully 100% super moderated campaign that does not excite, speak to, or energize a progressive base. And frankly, we weren't even really invited to contribute on that race.
A 100% super moderated campaign. McAuliffe supports abortion on demand. He said parents shouldn't have a say in their children's education. He played the race card when nothing else seemed to work. But his campaign was 100% super moderated, according to AOC. Think about this, folks. Seattle elected a Republican official. Minneapolis residents went against their radical city council and voted to fund, not defund, their police. Youngkin ran on education, lower taxes, and public safety. But AOC, she says the key to winning elections is to actually get more radical. This might be fine in her district or Ilhan Omar's district or Rashida Tlaib's, but not in real America. Okay, next let's talk about the Democrat denial of critical race theory. But first, if you're new to the show or haven't subscribed yet, regardless of platform, just search on my name, hit that subscribe button, make sure notifications are turned on. That way you can follow the show and help us grow. Okay, let's talk about critical race theory and the Democrat strategy of saying it doesn't even exist. It's not being taught, and it's just some kind of ginned up issue to fire up parents. On election night, as the members of the left-wing media were melting down, here was some of the reaction.
the virus. It was a very
low salience, not important to many of the voters.
Which
was fascinating.
It was education,
right,
which is code for white parents don't like the idea of teaching about race.
Critical race theory, which isn't real, turned the suburbs 15 points to the Trump insurrection endorsed Republican.
I love that. Critical race theory, which isn't real. Give me a break. Folks, one of the things the left-wing commentators love to say is that CRT is not even being taught in schools. That it's some advanced theory coming from the study of law and being taught to graduate students. Well, guess what? Newton's laws of motion and gravity are advanced mathematical concepts spanning multiple spatial dimensions and time that are taught at the graduate student level. But guess what? There's also a version taught at the undergraduate level and at the high school level, and even small kids are taught the basic ideas of gravity. So the left can try to hide it, but parents know what they are seeing. Students know what they are seeing. And here's another example. The most populous county in Maryland has implemented psychoeducational lessons that tell students there is a dual pandemic involving COVID-19 and systemic racism, according to documents obtained by Judicial Watch. Montgomery County Public Schools promoted materials like Anti-Racist Baby by Ibram X. Kendi in a PowerPoint obtained by Judicial Watch. The PowerPoint links to an audio reading of the book, which says babies are taught to be racist or anti-racist. There's no neutrality. I'm so done with this, and so are many parents across the country. And it's not just in places like Loudoun County, Virginia. Here in Texas, in part of Houston, conservative-backed candidates won positions on the school board because of the race-based curriculum that was being pushed. Telling children that they are oppressed or that they are oppressors has no place in our schools. Here's more. A scripted teacher response written for the psychoeducational lesson told students that they are living through a dual pandemic with COVID-19 and the systemic and structural racism occurring worldwide, according to a teacher training video obtained by Judicial Watch. Systems of Oppression identifies inequity by calling attention to the historical and organized patterns of mistreatment, a glossary for secondary students read. In the United States, systems of oppression, like systemic racism, are woven into the very foundation of American culture, society, and laws. And according to left-wing media commentators, critical race theory isn't even being taught. It doesn't even exist. Another lesson in this package for third to fifth graders teaches that those in the Black and Latinx communities, and by the way, no one in the Latino or Hispanic community actually uses Latinx, but regarding this lesson, kids are taught that COVID-19 hit those groups harder because of racism. Rather than bringing people together, as we've been working on for decades, the left is bent on tearing people apart. All right, next, states are stepping up to put a stop to Joe Biden's vaccine mandate, a policy that is unconstitutional, un-American, and anti-science. But nonetheless, it is scheduled to take effect on January 4th. Here's the story. 11 states filed a lawsuit Friday against President Biden's decision requiring large private businesses to mandate the COVID-19 vaccine for their employees or pay for regular testing. Missouri Attorney General Eric Schmidt, along with 10 other states, argue in court papers the requirement runs afoul of states' rights, which should have authority over police powers to patrol citizens' safety. For over a century, the U.S. Supreme Court has recognized that policies on compulsory vaccination lie within the police powers of the states, and that they are matters that do not ordinarily concern the national government, the complaint read. The Constitution and the 10th Amendment make things pretty clear. The powers not specifically given to the federal government are reserved for the states and the people in which the power ultimately rests, not the federal government. The courts have affirmed that states do have the right, in certain circumstances, to mandate vaccines, but it is a state issue, and the federal government, under Biden or any president, does not have that power. Here's more. Mr. Biden proposed the mandate in a September speech, but it was on Thursday that the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, or OSHA, which applies to 84 million workers, published the rule. It directs large companies to require employees to get vaccinated by January 4th or else pay for them to get tested weekly. Employees who are not vaccinated will also have to wear a face mask. Under the rule, employers must also give employees paid leave for them to get the vaccines and recover from any side effects. Employers are subject to a $14,000 fine per violation under the new federal rule. Hopefully, that state coalition or some other party can get a case up to the Supreme Court quickly, because this draconian measure is all about power, control, and corruption. There's already talk that the definition of fully vaccinated, which would have bearing on this rule, could change in the future, which means Pfizer, Moderna, and others will be making even more money, and our taxpayer resources will go to the purchase of vaccines that millions of Americans don't want, but that the Biden administration is trying to force us to take. Okay, so we've had Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez saying Dems need to get more radical. We've had critical race theory, which is supposed to not even exist, being pushed at another school. And we have Joe Biden's vaccine mandate. We need to ask them, do you have a relaxed brain?
I got what you call, like, I don't know, a relaxed brain.
Okay, I think no post-election relaxed brain segment would be complete without talking about the discredited Lincoln Project. These guys were already discredited, and with the past election, they took it up a notch. Recall, these are the Never Trumpers who formed an organization to go after Trump. They said they were still Republicans, but seemed to embrace left-wing policies. Then, during the race for Virginia governor, they manufactured their own white supremacist rally and tried to tie it to Glenn Youngkin. Check this out. Just look at these guys. They are supposed to be torch-carrying, Glenn Youngkin-supporting white supremacists. This is something straight out of Jussie Smollett. Well, as you can imagine, the whole thing backfired, and you really have to ask yourself, if these guys aren't supporting Glenn Youngkin, then how can they even claim they are Republican? And next, how about Microsoft, which has taken ridiculous wokeness to a whole new level? This week was the Microsoft Ignite 2021 conference. This is a tech company giving a tech conference. And check out this welcome message.
Hello and welcome to Microsoft Ignite. We've got a big day ahead and lots in store for you. First, we want to acknowledge that the land where the Microsoft campus is situated was traditionally occupied by the Sammamish, the Duwamish, the Snoqualmie, the Suquamish, the Muckleshoot, the Snohomish, the Tulalip, and other Coast Salish peoples since time immemorial.
Wow, I've never heard a welcome message start out like that. But again, companies have been taken over by the woke radical left, and this is what you get. Then things got even more weird.
My name is Allison Wines. I'm a senior program manager in our developer tools division. I'm an Asian and white female with dark brown hair wearing a red sleeveless top.
And I'm Seth Juarez, program manager in the AI platform group. I'm a tall Hispanic male wearing a blue shirt, khaki pants.
What? Blue shirt, khaki pants, Hispanic male? Okay, what's the point? Do I care? No, but hey, in another video, the Microsoft wokesters added their pronouns too.
Hello, everyone. I'm Natalie Gadilla. I'm a Caucasian woman with long blonde hair, and I go by she, her. I'm a product marketing lead here at Microsoft and co-host of the podcast Security Unlocked with this guy.
Yes, that would be me. Hello, everyone. I'm Nick Fillingham. I'm a Caucasian man with glasses and a beard. I go by he, him, and I'm a security evangelist here at Microsoft.
Seriously, I feel like this is something straight out of Saturday Night Live, but it's not. This is real. Corporations are just lost. It's like we don't even need to go the Babylon Bee headlines, because we have real life at Microsoft. But we will include some Babylon Bee, and we'll start with sports and Colin Kaepernick, who compared the NFL and NFL draft to slavery. Kaepernick's sad that no slave owner will enslave him no matter how many times he tries out to be a slave. And then there's breaking news from CNN, who is trying to cover for the rumored reason why Joe Biden's meeting with the Pope lasted so much longer than expected. CNN anchors all poop pants on air to show it's perfectly normal. What can you even say? I don't write it, I just report it. Friends, that's our show for today. I hope you enjoyed it. And don't forget, if you're new to the show or haven't subscribed yet, regardless of platform, just search on my name, hit that subscribe button, make sure notifications are turned on. That way you can follow the show and help us grow. Thank you so much for tuning in. Our next show is going to be Monday evening at the usual time, 6:30 p.m. Central. Until then, I'm Bobby Eberle. This is the 13-Minute News Hour.